Eastern health is always about nourishing. They'll never tell you to stress your body out in order to create an adaptation response. They'll be like, treat your body well. When you're tired, rest. When you feel good, they'll never tell you to like go run a marathon to get better.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Whereas modern Western wellness modalities are all geared around creating stress adaptation responses by doing different shocking things.
Hey guys, we're excited to have Christina Ko, the founder of Good Peoples, a creative wellness studio in Hong Kong, joining us today. Christina combines breathwork, meditation, and intuitive practices to help us connect with our inner selves and discover purpose. Today, we'll deep dive into the world of breathwork and explore its profound impact on overall well-being. We'll also clear up some of the misconceptions about breathwork and share practical tips on how to seamlessly integrate them into your daily routine. Christina, thank you for joining us on our Nucci podcast. I'm super excited to have you here with us today. I want to begin with saying that, you know, asking really about your journey. I know you were a writer, a journalist. How did you come towards the journey of finding breath work and meditation?
Hey, first off, thanks for having me. I'm very excited to be here. So I started my career as a journalist. I think I always... Basically, since college, I knew that I wanted to be a writer. It felt like it was so core to who I was and actually still am. And I worked in the industry for almost 20 years. Betraying my age a little bit. But I loved it. So it wasn't like one of those things where, I was burnt out. I didn't like what I was doing. But eventually through writing, I worked for a luxury magazine. And one of the privileges is that we would get to go to spas and get beauty treatments and all of these things and write about them. And from there, it went from more like body treatments to doing more spiritual stuff, more meditation. The world kind of changed as well because wellness became more than just massages and facials. It became work, meditation. One day I ended up at this retreat, which I'm actually going to in Phuket next week, called Phuket Cleanse. And they had all these different breathwork styles. And I think like many people who first come to breathwork, I thought it was going to be one of those very slow, very yogi pranayama style things. Like,
That's what everybody associates it with, right?
Yeah. And then I did two sessions in that one trip. The first one was a breathwork for manifestation, where you do very slow breathing and you do visualizations of like, it's an hour long session where they just ask you to visualize what you want, paint it in full color pictures. What does it smell like? What does it taste like? And you can really feel it. Yeah. Then the second one I did was a shamanic breathwork session, which is aggressive breathing, like nonstop for an hour. And I couldn't speak to anyone for an hour after that. All stuff. I flew away. It was my first really, I guess it's a pseudo psychedelic experience. Wow. And then I was just kind of like, wow, you can do this without drugs, you can do that just with your breath. It's wild. It's crazy. And then I just started exploring a bit more. Mm-hmm. Eventually, I think during COVID, more people got into meditation. I was working on a wellness site as well. And it was more about spiritual wellness, alternative therapies. So basically, I was going in and investigating all sorts of different things from like Akashic record readings to bioresonance to breathwork. And then somehow I started to feel like breathwork was the thing that connected everything. In the same way that I feel like breath connects everything in our lives already, because it's the one constant that we have at all times, whether you're thinking that you're doing it or not, you're breathing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Breathwork is actually just a way of understanding the breath. It's as much a modality, I think, as a philosophy of being conscious of what you're doing. I mean, even to the point that I think only in the last couple of weeks have I really started noticing how I breathe when I'm not doing breathwork.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And that's something that most people don't think about because it's just what you do, right? But then breathing, whether it's you're just walking to the supermarket or you're running or... You know, that's something that, Ellie, I don't think about it at all in your daily life when you have other things to think about. Right?
Yeah, actually, a really difficult thing. The reason it took me until now to figure it out is because it's really difficult just to sit there and observe your breath without changing it. So every time you go into a breathwork session, you're automatically like, okay, I'll breathe slower, I'll breathe better, I'll breathe deeper. And then you don't notice during the day, what are my actual breath patterns? So all the different elements of breathwork were just really fascinating to me, and how it connects, and how it also connects the mind to the body, to the spirit.
Yeah. So I think, you know, for a lot of us, when we think about breath work, I just think about sitting in a room. It's really quiet, more like what you described as the pranayama breathing, right? But can you tell us about what are the different types of breathing out there, right? I think there's the slower side, then there's the faster side that you mentioned. You know, can you talk us through that a bit?
Yeah, I think there's so many different styles. Even probably the most experienced breathwork practitioners are still learning every single day, because there's so many different breath patterns that you can do in terms of speed, in terms of nasal breathing or mouth breathing, in terms of are we doing breath holds, and then just controlling the patterns can take you to different states. But I think if we're going to put them into a few different categories for breath work, probably you could split it into three. The first being stuff that really slows you down. So calming breath work, things where your exhales are longer, you're mostly breathing through your nose, and the intention is to calm the nervous system and take you out of stressful situations.
Right.
The second style is holotropic. It's more intense. It's the Wim Hof stuff that you see that's very popular and on trend now, where people are like, and basically it's hyperventilating the system so that you can get, it's for stress adaptation, it's for taking you into different altered states. So this is the more trendy kind of breath work, I would say. And then the thing that's sort of a mix between the two, and I'm going to steal this, I don't know where this term, my friend Heaney calls it LSD, which is long, slow, deep. Uh-huh. So for me, that style kind of takes me in between the two. So it's calming, but because you're breathing in for much longer, you're like, so you get that, you know, hyper oxygenation, but you also get the relaxation that goes along with it. But the thing with breathwork is you never know, because every body is different, every moment is different. So with breathwork, a lot of times you're being taken into the state that your body feels like it needs most. So some people do holotropic breathing and they fall asleep. And some people do very, long calming breaths and they get really hyper. So it just depends on who you are, how your body reacts, and maybe like how tired you are or what your body actually needed, and also what your intention is. I think intention is really important when you're going into a breathwork session, which isn't a scientific aspect of it, but with TCM, where we understand mind-body connection is so strong that when you set an intention for your breathwork practice, whether it's physical relaxation or something like, you know, I want to understand the root of my drama with my mother or something like that. Somehow you will get somewhere towards that answer.
Right, right. And talk a little bit about this intention setting. I think for a lot of us, you know, when you go into a session, you might not know that that's, you know, necessary, or there's not that planning. How can we do that?
I think with an intention, it's just whatever kind of drops into your mind. Because I think that what I love to use breathwork for was not necessarily in the beginning physical healing. It was more about, for me, it was initially, wow, this is really cool. I can feel different things I've never felt. I feel like I see colors, I see visions. I want to do more of that, and it's good for me. So why not do it more? And so initially the intentions I would set were things that I wanted to see. I feel like I'm having a lot of struggles with money, for example. And then I'd go into a breathwork session asking, okay, my intention is to, you know, work on my relationship with money. Uh-huh. Seems like a weird intention for breathwork. But when you think about how breathwork is used for a lot of deep trauma, then my relationship with money could be something that is traumatic in a sense. It's something that plagues me. And so going into a breathwork session with that intention, maybe it's, okay, the next time I'm thinking of money, my body's in more relaxed state. It could also be, you know, I could have a sudden flashback to a moment when maybe I lost my job and I felt like, oh, I was really unsafe, I don't have enough money. And it brings you back to almost like a hypnotherapy session, it could take you back to the moment when that's when this belief was formed that I don't have enough money. Or things like that. Mm-hmm. Or it could be much more simple. It could be, you know, in a lot of yoga classes, you'll see you'll hear a teacher say, okay, everyone set an intention for the class. And it could be one word. It could be peace, relaxation, you know, letting go, surrender. And in those cases, then you kind of get that, you know, if your intention was relaxation, then you'll fall asleep. Maybe you'll get less activated. If your intention is to energize, then your body will know, okay, we want to actually pump you up and not let you fall asleep. We want to give you more energy. So we're going to oxygenate your cells, make sure that everything is like moving smoothly. Mind-body connection is so amazing. That you can actually get so much from setting this intention. And it's almost like just thinking about your to-do list in the morning. Like, what do I want to do today? Mm-hmm. And then just doing that as your intention.
Yeah, I find that very insightful. I think stepping back, with meditation, stepping back with breath work, right? A lot of this does breath work come from a lot of Eastern practices, right? And I think you also mentioned Qigong, and then there's also Tai Chi with like all the breathing. How is that all, you know, how does all that work together?
I think most breathwork practitioners have a little bit of understanding of Qigong. I think that the practices are quite different. I haven't really gone deep into it, into Qigong specifically. I've done sessions, but I've never learned as a practitioner. But the sense I get is with breathwork, you're almost using the body to reset the mind. And with Qigong, a lot of times you're using the mind to move energy in the body. So with Qigong, there is movement, but a lot of it is about the connection. I know I was talking to friends last night who have both done full Qigong certifications, and they were saying to me, when you do level one, you're going to spend the first three classes sitting. You're not really doing a lot of breathing. It's a lot of, you know, visualizing, feeling the Qi coming through you. So you're sitting very still. Whereas a lot of times in breath work, it's the opposite, where I get you to lie down, and then the idea is to just focus on the physicality of the breathing, focusing on counting in 2, 3, 4, out 2, 3, 4, feeling the belly rise and fall. So it's a very in your body experience. And so, but the idea with both is to forge that connection between the mind and body so that everything is moving in a very smooth, systematic way.
And I think going into, you know, you have your breathwork sessions and then meditation. So would one take your breathwork and then go into the meditation, or are they sort of complementary?
Well, we mix it all up. The meditation is happening in the breathwork. The meditation is after. The meditation is sort of before. So the sessions I do are quite unique. Actually, probably the breathwork I do is quite unique, because the sessions that I do are geared towards people who probably had no interest in meditation and could not meditate. I am a super overthinker. I just like, I would go to massages and be like, great, it's an hour for me to brainstorm about like work. My body would be in a relaxation state. And then I'd be like, now my mind is free to wander, and like, there's no phone, this is my creative time. So when I meditated, impossible for me to shut off my brain. All I did was like self-flagellate. I would be like, oh my God, you're doing this wrong. This is not meditation. You're thinking about stuff again. Stop it, Christina. And it was just this constant inner dialogue. So for that, I ended up getting into meditation was through guided meditations. I would go on Spotify and YouTube and just find things that there was a voice, and it had to be kind of something creative and interesting. I didn't want to sit there and just like be like, because I'm like, I can't. So then I found that there were funny meditations. I found that there were ones with, you know, the artist East Forest did these musical meditations where it's his voice, but it's with these really cool soundscapes. And so when I started teaching breath work, it was sort of like, oh, how do I bring this idea of these fun meditations and this breathwork state together? So the breathwork I do, we play all sorts of music. I mean, I've played Bruno Mars and Rosé, Apata. in breath work before, and people are like, you know, we've got John Mayer, we've got some like Hans Zimmer ambient soundscapes and things like that. And then and then we kind of alternate between fast and slow breathing with the pop songs, and then in these breath holds where I'm playing orchestra music, some Beethoven, some you know, cool kind of instrumental music. People are doing breath holds, so they're kind of focusing on their breath. And then in order for them to hold their breath for longer to get those physical benefits, intermittent hypoxia, which is basically stamina training, mindset training, I lead them through meditations. And they're not like empty your mind, because then you'll just start thinking about your breath and how you want to hold it for longer. I would suggest things like, what is your happy place? Why is that your happy place? How could you bring this happiness into your life every day? Or let's take a walk through the park. Imagine you're in a park walking down. What do you see? What are the trees around you? Is it day? Is it night? So it just takes them into different visualizations, different thoughts. Because I think meditation doesn't necessarily have to just be about emptying your mind. It could be about focusing on something so that you're excluding all the other overthinking. And probably this is not like the most purest way to think of meditation, but it's something that I think works for people, especially in big cities where we have this. I mean, meditation for me is at least getting off your phone and stopping that doom scrolling, right? Or stop it. Or, you know, we go on WhatsApp and we're like replying 5 chats at the same time. And so even if you're just focusing on one thing, it is very meditative. I find watching Korean dramas very meditative because I have to read subtitles. Yeah. So when I read subtitles on my phone, I'm not talking to anyone. I'm very purely focused on reading. That could be meditative. So by that philosophy, I think the idea is the physical relaxation through breath, and then the mindset focus or training in a way through meditative prompts and visualizations.
That makes a lot of sense. So I think for people in the city especially, right? I mean, we're constantly, I know I'm crossing the road and then my phone will do a ding, and I'm also listening to my Spotify and all that stuff. Like, so there's lots of things going on, right? So how can, aside from joining your class, what can we do to sort of tap into that sort of meditation, breath work? Can we find you online, or are there, like, can I play a song and practice at home?
Yeah, absolutely. You can play a song. I think for me, I love people coming to my sessions, and I love the energy of getting a big group together and everyone breathing together, having different experiences, but it's shared. And that energy that's created is really lovely. But I also am a big fan of just empowering us to do it ourselves. It's not about, I'm the only one who hands out fish. You should be able to go fishing yourself. And so when I do explain the breath technique, and if you've been to a couple of sessions, you kind of get the breath technique, and then you can do it at home anywhere. Because ideally, what you're learning is, okay, how do I breathe deeply? And then that's the first thing, because once you're breathing deeply, you're already regulating your nervous system. If you can inhale deeply and then exhale for longer than you inhale, then you're already activating the parasympathetic nervous system. You're bringing down your nervous system. You're calming yourself. And that already has benefits. So even if you then happen to get a really anxious WhatsApp or email that you need to reply, your nervous system is already in a better state to deal with that. And then you feel like you're less triggered, and you're less likely to want to go doom scroll or like fidget and things like that, because you're already in a calm state. And the easiest way that I think you can do breath work is just listen to music and then count your breaths. So most music comes in a beat of like in 2, 3, 4, out 2, 3, 4. And you can just follow that. I walk my dogs at night for like half an hour, and I just put on my headphones and I just walk and I just count the beats as I walk. And then if I forget, because, you know, I need to pick up poop or something like that, then I just stop. It's not like there's a prescribed amount. You must do it for like 3 songs. If you do it for 10 seconds, that's great. If you do it for 10 minutes, even better. But it's just squeezing it into whatever time you have. You don't have to do it, you know, lying down or sitting down in a meditative state. we could do it right now. Yeah. We could do it when, you know, after you run for the bus and then you get on the bus and you're like, my heart's beating really fast. You're like,
yeah.
And then just let it go. So
yeah,
that's why it's the best thing ever, because it's the everyday thing that no one can ever take away from you. And if you just learn a few simple things, you actually realize that, wow, I can regulate myself so easily. Honestly, the biggest benefit is probably, I mean, my wife probably gets the biggest benefit out of this, because I'm
more calm, less angry.
Yes.
Let's talk about that, actually. I know that when I'm on my period, I'm more angry. And a lot of women are, you know, you're kind of sitting on edge. And talk me through about the health benefits, especially for women.
Okay. So I think one of the big things for me is, if we're going to relate it to TCM, because I think that the interesting thing is a lot of the health benefits that we talk about when you learn about breathwork are lensed from a Western perspective, right? So you'll have like just general decreased inflammation or energy levels. I mean, it's literally everything that you can think of, you know, reduces heart disease, mindset, stamina. I mean, there's, depending on what type of breathwork you're doing, there's so many different benefits that there could be. I think for me, one of the interesting things for women, especially maybe women of my age, I'm in my 40s, so definitely approaching that perimenopause phase, a lot of us are facing serious qi deficiency. And I think it's a lot of, and no matter what I do, you know, every day I'm drinking my ginger and red date teas. I go see a Chinese doctor every time after my period just to supplement. And still I find that my qi is quite deficient. My detox ability is lower. My weight is getting, you know, belly fat increases and all of the classic symptoms. So what I find with breath work is, firstly, it really helps with moving qi, because you're literally, I mean, if you think about it, air going in at whatever speed is going to help move everything in the system better. So you detox better. You're not carrying on as much stuff in here. And also the stress reduction reduces inflammation and all of these associated things that we come across. I've started to get a little bit of hot flashes at night as well, which I hear is also perimenopause related, or so my Chinese doctor tells me. And so what I find is, in those moments, doing slow breathing will help me calm myself and get back to sleep. So I'm not like, why am I sweating? And the AC is on like 16 degrees.
Yeah.
Because that is just, besides the actual physical heat, it's a mind trip, right? You wake up in the middle of the night and you're like, oh my God, I'm old. and then the mind spiral starts. You're like, am I having hot flashes? Am I going through menopause? Am I that old? And then you're like, okay, Christina, get a hold of yourself. You have your tools. And it also helps you to regulate your body temperature, because obviously one of the most popular forms of breath work is done alongside ice baths. So the breath is a proven way of kind of regulating your body temperature. So I would say for hot flashes, I mean, it works for hot as well as cold.
Right.
So in the sauna, when you're going through menopause, same.
Yeah, I was in the sauna the other day and I was practicing my breath work because it was just so hot. I couldn't think of anything else.
Yeah, that's exactly what you should do.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So tell me a little bit about, you know, you brought up ice baths, right? So how does that complement breath work? I think a lot of times, you know, I think I've never tried an ice bath myself and it freaks me out a bit, just because I feel like I don't know what my Chinese doctor would say about that. Yeah, tell me a little bit about that.
To be very honest, ice baths are probably the main reason that breathwork is popular now. So I feel like there's a bit of a love-hate relationship in that sense, because a lot of the people who, a lot of facilitators for breathwork feel that ice baths sensationalize breathwork, and breathwork doesn't, you know, because it's cool, it's great for Instagram, it looks really cool that you can get in there and, like, you know, you see people setting their timers. I did 15 minutes, I did 9 minutes, I did 22 minutes. The first time I did an ice bath, I did 22 minutes, and that is absolutely not recommended from a health perspective. Absolutely not recommended from a TCM perspective, especially. And new science is actually suggesting that ice baths are healthy, but in very specific instances. Uh-huh. So the latest research, I believe, if for fans of Andrew Huberman's podcasts. There's a woman, I think in Finland, who did a few studies on cold swimming. And basically they said it's 11 minutes of ice bath a week.
Okay.
In 2 minute bursts. So it's about the shock factor.
Yeah.
And not about how long you can stay in there. So ice baths are cool. For some people, they work really well. Breath work is great in association with an ice bath because the two kind of nourish each other. You can stay longer in the ice bath because of your breath. And so in essence, ice baths with breath work are a mind exercise more than a health exercise, I think. It's about, oh my God, I can do this, rather than, wow, this is so good for my body. Because the so good for my body is at about a 2 minute mark. Actually, some doctors say that for women, you shouldn't even go below 15 degrees. So yeah, go for an ice bath, but maybe not go below 15 degrees Celsius. I think there's a lot of, because it's so new, and the studies are, you know, you can only do studies on certain groups of people, right? You need something, like you can't study everyone, otherwise the conclusions are different. So basically, we have a few studies now. They're done on certain groups of people in certain regions. None of them really have a TCM perspective on them. I can give you my kind of anecdotal take as someone who's a fan of ice baths. What I find is that when I am in my follicular phase, so after my period, when I'm heading up towards ovulation period, which is when I generally feel strong, I feel like I'm healthy, my skin is really good, and I do an ice bath, I feel quite good afterwards. If I do it on the periods that on the time periods that I'm in luteal or I'm menstruating, then I feel like it's overstressing my body, and I feel like that for me is the key difference between Western health and Eastern health. That Eastern health is always about nourishing. They'll never tell you to stress your body out in order to create an adaptation response. They'll be like, treat your body well. When you're tired, rest. When you feel good, they'll never tell you to like go run a marathon to get better kind of thing. Yeah. Whereas modern Western wellness modalities are all geared around creating stress adaptation responses by doing different shocking things. So that's why it's about resistance training at high weights.
Yeah.
For older women, it's about ice baths. It's contrast therapy. So saunas and ice baths together. And when you get out, you end on ice always. They tell you to end on ice because they want your body to learn how to improve itself.
Yeah.
And bring it back from that brink. So the two philosophies are totally opposite.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you think about them, they're both kind of valid, I think. So that's another reason that I actually think the mind-body connection is so important, because when you meditate more, you're able to listen to your body more. So, you know, when you're younger and you're not really very in your body, you're not very connected to your body, you're like, you don't think about what you eat. You don't realize that like, oh, I can eat McDonald's every day and I actually don't gain weight and I don't feel bad. But if I eat McDonald's two meals in a row, the next day I'll be like, oh, I can feel the oil. I can feel this.
Yeah.
Body actually tells you what it likes and dislikes. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's the same for different things. So, you know, if they tell you, oh, women need 15 grams of protein within 30 minutes of waking up to prevent cortisol levels spiking, then you try that. Do I feel better? If I do, then I'll keep doing it. If I don't, then I won't. Mm-hmm. How do ice baths work for me? How does, you know, drinking ginseng first thing in the morning work for me versus midday?
Yeah.
With your supplements, it's probably the same thing. These are the formulas that we've come up with, talking to Eastern and Western specialists, looking at as much science and ancient wisdom as possible. And then you decide how to incorporate it in your life. You're not going to tell everyone you must take all three of these every day at this hour, because that wouldn't make sense. So I think it really comes back to also, what does my body tell me about how it feels?
Yeah. I completely agree. I think that, you know, for me, there's the Eastern modalities and the Western, right? And they're very different. But, you know, it's really about finding what works for you and finding that balance between East meets West and how they can complement each other. Like, I love my yoga. but I also like going to the gym. I like my running. Like, how can you put those together, right? And then especially also with food, right? How you can integrate your salad and your sushi with maybe having a ginseng tea afterwards, right? It's not really about picking. Is that sort of, you know, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, I'm always, I mean, and also I don't think we, I mean, we're humans, right? We're not here to only do what's good for us.
Yeah.
So at some point you will eventually go through this, like, okay, like for me, because my chi is just so stagnant all the time, I never drink cold things. Mm. I mean, really as much as possible, unless it's scorching hot and I'm at the beach and I really can't. And even if I do, I do this really lame thing where I'll like take a sip of coconut water and I'll be like, try to warm it up in my mouth before I actually put it in my body. But then I love sushi, and sushi is raw, you know.
But you have a hot
my Chinese doctor can tell me a million times not to have it. Yes, of course, of course. So we all have our own kind of hacks, shall we say, to get over these like little sins that we want to have, these treats that we want to give ourselves that we know aren't good for us, but actually total deprivation of joy and indulgence, I'm sure, is also not healthy. Because as we know, a lot of these emotions like worry, if I keep worrying about my diet, then that's going to affect my spleen, which will have a direct impact on my chi as well.
Yeah.
I think
everything is interconnected.
Yeah, exactly. And how ironic would that be, that your health is poor because you're stressed about your health?
Yeah, exactly. So Christina, I wanted to really, I know that you also founded Good Peoples. We haven't had a chance to talk about that yet. Tell me more about Good Peoples.
Yeah, Good Peoples is, it's my studio. It's where I am right now. You can see my ceiling, my very fancy warehouse ceiling, and all my pipes and inks. Basically, we are a wellness and creativity studio. So we do all sorts of sessions. We're a little bit amorphous. There's a kind of big umbrella that we do. We take a creative approach to doing wellness sessions, and then a kind of wellness approach to creativity. So we do workshops that'll be like breath work. I also do intuitive card readings for people. And then we do creativity workshops, such as one of our signature workshops is called About Me. And you learn to write your bio and you get your headshot done. But we do it through a wellness lens. So before you can write about yourself, you need to know yourself. So we do a lot of meditations and we do group card readings to connect to, okay, what is the essence of you before you put it on paper? And then it's called Good Peoples because the idea, it's not a space for good peoples. It's that we're all good peoples. Mm-hmm. And so at the end of the day, it's a space for everyone to just connect better to themselves, whether that's through breath work, through writing, through, I mean, we have parties here. We hang out and watch movies and do talks and I take naps on the floor and, you know,
that's
whatever.
Amazing. I need to come and check out one of your sessions.
Yes.
Yeah.
Please do.
Awesome. Well, I also wanted to ask you about your daily wellness routine, because it sounds like you do a lot and at the same time you can breathe a lot. So let me know, what is your daily wellness routine look like?
So the wellness routine, I don't have a fixed wellness routine, because although it works for some people, I feel like I was a freelance writer for the last 5 years. So my schedule is very undefined. You know, sometimes I wake up and I'm grumpy and I don't want to do meditation. So for me, I have certain morning routines in terms of things that I drink a glass of warm water when I first wake up.
Of course.
I have a protein shake. And then my vitamin supplements. And it takes me like an hour to have that because there's just so much to drink and take nowadays. This is like life in your 40s. Yeah, it's like, oh, vitamin drink now. It's daily supplementation. And then from there, I kind of see how I feel. So I think the most important thing, I do it every morning. And then I do it in the beginning of sessions as well to see how, is just to close your eyes, take a deep breath and ask, what do I need today? How do I feel today? Do I need to draw an oracle card to give me some guidance or set a theme for the day? Like if I feel like, oh, I'm a bit scattered, then I'll do that. If I feel like I didn't sleep well, I'm quite anxious. Mm. I'm grumpy because construction started outside the window really early and I felt like I didn't get enough sleep, then I might do a breathwork, either a breathwork track I've recorded, or I do other people's breathwork all the time on Insight Timer. I love them because then I get to try other people's styles and kind of learn from them. Or I will maybe work out. Mm-hmm. Do some either YouTube yoga or book a class on ClassPass.
Yeah.
And then maybe once a week, because ultimately the style of breathwork I do is quite energy focused. Mm-hmm. So, and I tend to do a lot of just general energy work. So I try to do either a sound bath or some sort of healing, kind of more spiritual healing modality once every week or once every 2 weeks so that I can just clear out any negative energy that I might have absorbed just from other people leaving behind stuff in the studio. You know, when you're breathing out your negative energy. We guide them to like visualize all those negative feelings leaving your body. They got to go somewhere. I hope they're not going to me, but just to make sure.
Gotta get it out.
Cleansing and things like that. So, and then in the evening, I think is probably more important for me is the winding down. Also in the morning, I journal. I have this cool new journal called, it's called
I Need a Journal.
Today Well Spent. I actually just started this about a month ago. Love it. It just makes, I only have to fill in one task a day that I have to do.
Yeah.
And then I feel really accomplished when I get that done. And yesterday's task was simply be present. So I was like, good girl. And then evenings I do my dog walk around 9:30 or 10 with a little bit of breathing. Mm. And then I think this is the real key is I spend at least an hour just like staring into space, which is, I guess, my form of meditation.
Yeah.
And then to sleep, I actually put on a sleep timer with like 30 minutes of sound bowl. So that I go to bed and I have vibrations around me.
Amazing. I will definitely need to take some of those tips, but I really like the one where you talked about you listen to your body and you don't have a set routine. I think a lot of us, at least I like to set a routine. I say every Tuesday is yoga, every Thursday is gym. Then I have to like make sure I do my runs in between and I don't really think about how I feel. It's just I do, right? Because I think that it's part of my routine and that's good for me. But I do think that I need to listen to my body more. So final question, I want to know, what's your personal secret to looking and feeling your best? Because you look amazing.
Thank you. Happiness. You know what? I will say of all of the things that they tell you to stress out about when you turn 40, you know, aging, menopause, being irrelevant, all of these things, I think it was the most liberating thing. Like in my late 30s, I was so worried about turning 40. I'm like, game over, you know, that's the societal narrative. And then I think most people who hit this age realize that actually it's all bets are off. You know, you really just stop caring. And I feel like this has been the most liberating phase of my life because I'm just happy. I don't make as much money as I used to, but I don't work as hard. I mostly do what I want. And I think cutting out all of that people pleasing, all of this worrying about what other people were thinking about me, you know, am I dressing the right part to go to this event? Am I smart enough to be in this conversation? Do I have to go to this dinner that I don't want to because I said yes 2 weeks ago, you know? Now I'm like, it's a perfectly acceptable excuse for me. I mean, my friends are used to it probably now, for me to text them and be like, hi, I'm not coming tonight because I don't want to anymore. And it's not a reflection on like, I hate that person. It's just, yeah, you know, we're tired. I think that's, I mean, being a woman also, you have cycles. So it's just so much more acceptable now to be like, hey, I have my period. I'm tired. I'm not coming. And then it used to be like one day that you felt like you could do that. Now I'm like, if I want to do that for 4 days, if I want to do that, even if I'm not on my period, if I just want to do that just because, hey, I want to watch Korean dramas tonight, then I'm going to do that. I think living an authentic life and doing what you want is just the most magical wellness routine that anyone can have. And at that point, you don't need to have breath work unless you want to. You don't need to have anything except satisfaction with yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for sharing it. I think a lot of us don't think about that enough, and we don't put what our needs are at the forefront. And so I will definitely have to take that away and take some of that advice to heart and put myself first and be the authentic me. So thank you so much. And thank you to all our listeners for joining in. Okay.
Thanks, Steph. This was fun.
Thanks for hanging out with us on the Nucci podcast. If you enjoyed the episode, we'd love your support. Leave us a rating, drop us a review, or share it with someone who'd enjoy it too. And don't forget to hit the subscribe button so you never miss an episode.